Well, there is politics everywhere, and rightfully so. But then there's technology everywhere as well, and we are happy, very happy with that. Welcome to the first edition of your number one technology conversation on Ghana Radio in the month of November. Welcome to City Trends. My name is Philip Ashon, and you're tuned in to 97.3 City FM. On the show today, we speak to a man who has seen it all and probably done it all and says he is not going to stop anytime soon. We speak to a man who loves video games in a way that transcends just entertainment, but then enters into the realm of education. We speak to a man I consider a very good man. Ariab Teria, CEO of and co-founder of Leti Arts, has a new book, and he's going to be sharing bits and pieces of that book with us. I personally think it is indeed Africa's first foray into the world of gaming, and he captures it beautifully in his new book. Also on the show today, we talk about how Microsoft is looking like the pole thing, and then some new emojis as well, when Amishadai Ofori joins me on the trending segment of the show. Jeffrey Oreku Sapong will be here to share some of the most productive mobile applications for your smart devices in the app segment. All that, plus we reveal the topic for this month's City Trends debate before the end of the show. Now, for those of you who are not exactly aware of what the City Trends debate is all about, it's a monthly feature on the show where we bring in two people, you know, generally picked randomly from social media to debate a technology-related issue. Now, it can be either on innovation, on trends, or anything tech-related for that matter. Now, last month, we could not have a debate, unfortunately, but then this month, we will. My guest will provide us with a topic before the close of the show, but you can get in touch via City FM's Facebook and Twitter pages using the hashtag City Trends if you have a thought to share. You can alternatively use the WhatsApp number 054-998-6996 if you want to get in touch with me directly. Send me a message via my personal handle at Kofi Ashon. Now, the man sitting opposite me is one of the very few African game developers who is convinced that Africa will make a contribution to the world of game development. Now, before I met him, I honestly felt that that was a dream, a pipe dream that was probably never going to be possible. Now, his love for comics and computer games helped him, you know, to basically get involved with programming all the way back in junior high school. He's the co-founder of Leti Arts, which aims at bringing African history and storytelling to a new global audience through games, comics, and African-themed interactive content. He has spoken at the Game Developers Conference back in 2013 and participated in the US Africa Business Summit 2014. My guest is also one of the only people I can describe proudly as a man who is starting a whole new industry in Africa. He has written a book about his exploits in the world of gaming in Ghana and Africa, and actually around the world, and he's here to share some of it with us. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest for today, Ariam Teria. Thank you so much for joining us, Ariam.
Thank you, Philip.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you in the show. I'm not going to get into the whole Leti Arts conversation. We've had that conversation before. I think it was the second episode of City Trends where we started. I spoke to your co-founder, so we will not get into that. But honestly, why a book?
You know, Africa is growing very fast. And as much as the growth is clear, so much content and literature. So, a book is needed because the next generation need to grow with their local local mentors. Mm. And it's only literature about them that can make that possible. Mm. They can't keep reading about, if you talk about growth, then make your literature also increase. Mm. I should read about Philip, who was the best City Trend presenter, right? Mm. Instead of reading about Larry King, who was once a CNN presenter, you get it. So this is just an initiative to kickstart this zeal of other small successes. Success is not defined by whatever you've achieved. Like, people have achieved a lot. And as much as God has been very good to us, we should also acknowledge him more by telling people about what he has enabled us
to do.
You know, I believe God is a strategic God and he works through people. And this is a calling deep within me. I think I need to put literature in my space, since it's just not a business I'm building, but an industry.
Right.
People need to know. And Africans, we grow normal. Africa is not malaria, war. They are happy kids as well.
The rhetoric and, needs to change.
And as much as they are all that, it's only literature that can change it. So when you speak your life into text, it lives for generations.
Amazing. Amazing. Uncompromising Passion. That is the title of the book. Uncompromising Passion, the humble beginnings of an African video game industry. What a title for a book. Like, where did it come from?
So, Uncompromising Passion is from, my passion for what I do. I believe strongly that when you have passion for what you do, you will never work a single day. And that is what I experience in what I do. 6 years ago, I began this with my co-founder, not having a market, but just working on a potential untapped market. So games, and I'm one of the very few, or probably many, because we don't know, who has a consistent background. So if you ask my primary school mates, hey, Aram, they'll say, is he making games? DSS, they'll say, is he making games?
Because it started way back.
Exactly. Is he making games? And yeah, God being good, I'm still making games, you know. So that is an uncompromising passion. And I don't see myself stopping, because I've been projected into the future. This is my life. I want Aram Taylor to become like Bill Gates goes to computer, right? Steve Jobs, something. Aram Taylor should be game. You know? And at least I've built that brand. I'm a very jovial person, and people know me as that. And if this were to be a calling, people would be like a senior cartoon or something like that. But anyway, it's not, you know. Back in Maoli school, it was a really great time.
They called you the great. Wuzu the Great. Yes. A very interesting name. Just, you know, catching glimpses or bits and pieces of the book as I was reading. You speak very passionately, you know, right from the beginning about, you know, family, about God, and, you know, everything else. How important have these factors or these things been to your development as a gaming? I think we should just call you the game developer, the gaming expert.
Yeah, so I think you should add that to my dad as well anyway. But as I wrote in the book, I had a very fun, balanced life. My mom was very domestic and my dad, this all red person, and he knows about space, about like everything, right? And my mom will always, like, we were plenty at home, like 17 all the time, you know. Kids moving here and there. My mom had to farm. We had a poultry farm. We had like 10 dogs, 13 cats, because everyone,
it's like everybody's everywhere.
It was a very fun period growing up. So I had a balance between the domestic, and then I also had this zeal for technology. I built robots with my friends. Like, I read science books. I was passionate about space. I wanted to be an astronaut. Then it changed to the greatest inventor in primary something. Then it became the greatest game developer. And then from there, I found like minds, and we started teaching ourselves. Just narrowed it down, because we had all this. So I think my dad also had this thing. Like, he just left me to explore my world. My mom took care of the domestic side, because she would shout and shout and shout until I got the antidote.
When
you
don't listen,
I knew her anchors. So when she calls, hey, I'm coming, hey,
you know where to head.
So if you call my best friends, like Justin and Opuni, like, we were three guys who started together. They are medical doctors now, but they are geeks actually. They programmed 95% their time in medical school.
Wow.
With me. When you ask them, they'll be like, hey, Ram, fear dear, when we are working, the mom is always like, hey, Ram.
They don't understand.
Then they'll be like, hey, Ram, are we safe? And then I'll be like, oh, she says I should come and give water to bears. Is what they've said plenty
you
know, like that.
It's interesting. Like, you talk about all these fun times and, you know, all these stories, but you also deal with loss in your book, you know, and how have you managed to do that and, like, dealing with that loss? And what lessons will a reader who picks up your book find, you know, in
That is actually one of my very favorite chapters. I put that in the book because after all this passion, and when you read the book, you can feel that passion and that drive.
Oh, like, you can definitely feel it. I haven't finished the book, but the little that I've read, you sort of feel like you are in the house with you your family.
So I put that bit in there because in all that, life is the greatest wealth. Your health is wealth. And I started that chapter with that phrase, right? And when I fell ill around 2006 during my project work, like, I had finished my project work long ago, but I was working on almost everybody's project work as well. Like, I did everything for free in school. Wow. I never took anything. So I felt very ill, but I saw life moving on. Wow. You know, like,
Everything else was happening
and you couldn't and
you
just
can't contribute.
So I wrote about that and I reflected a lot, and it was all due to stress. You know, it was stress. They didn't know what was wrong with me then. So just last week I saw an email I had sent to my supervisor. I remember I just went and I saw 206 and I was like, sir, please, I felt really ill, and I, you know, that sort of thing. So it got me reflecting that you can have all this passion, but you need to take care of you.
Right.
You know, you need to take care of you. And as we grow, surprises happen. People just fall off your life.
Right.
Like, you lose friends, you lose, and it shows that we are growing, and it's life. And there is somewhere greater, because when you lose a close friend, that's when you realize that, wow,
something is gone.
Something just happened. So I wrote about one of my best friends, Ellie Ida, who passed out, who passed on last in 2014. How sudden it was, you know. This guy was the one who ironed my wedding clothes, you know, that sort of thing, all passionate. So in my wedding film, he's just walking all
everywhere.
Over. So I'm like, wow, this guy just left like that. And it caught me reflecting more. So that chapter was taking ill and dealing with loss.
And there are lessons there for everyone. Every age group. No matter, and that's one of the things that I think I find most intriguing. No matter how passionate you are about something, health and your life is critical.
Yes.
You have to make sure that you take care of yourself.
You take care of you. Like, for me, even now, I still have some habits, but I sit down, you code, you just drink. When you are young, that is the spirit, you know. I code from Friday to Monday without taking a shower, and you know, that is, and you feel really good, you know. And but when you fall ill, someone else will replace you, you know. And I felt that to be one of the most important chapters in the book, to tell you that, hey, take care of yourself. And also just also live and enjoy life.
You're listening to City Trends on 97.3 City FM with me, Philip Ashon. And on the show today, we have Aram Teria, who is the CEO and co-founder of Leti Arts. We're talking about his new book, uncompromising passion, the humble beginnings of an African video game industry. Listeners, you can be a part of this conversation by sending us a WhatsApp message on the number 054-998-6996. Alternatively, send us a tweet using the hashtag CTTrends or send me a direct message on my handle at Kofi Asho. Now, people talk about the critical role of educational institutions. Mm-hmm. And indeed, last week at the AfriLabs gathering where you spoke, it was one of the major talking points there. Now, how critical was, for example, KNUST and MEST, where you were part of, to your development, and how we basically have come to have, you know, the gaming industry as we have it now? And also briefly, just want you to touch on how important it is for our educational institutions to take another look so we can produce more ARAMs.
So this is also clearly stated in the book in terms of education. Africa has no formal or very few universities undertaking game design as a course. Outside, almost every Ivy League school has their department of game design, creative media practice as the because game development is very difficult.
One of the biggest things, yeah.
Right. I was privileged to be on a panel in a master's pitch in India as a judge in the master's program. There are games, right? I don't have a master's anyways, but that's what
it's interesting.
That's what I've done. It's that's what interesting. Has taken me. That's how far it's taken me to judge other products. And there, I realized that people were passionate. People are passionate about games. They write game design as their title. Game designer. Game AI manager or AI expert. AI consultant. You know, graphic designers are in different levels. You know, lighting design and all that. Even the physics in the game, there are different levels. Physics implementer, physics this, physics that. Those are all full-time jobs for people. But Africa, out of 1 billion people, I can say only 3 people may be writing such titles and living on.
But then, I mean, the whole thought of, you know, I mean, back then, video games being for, you know, people who didn't want to go to school and, you know, who wants to sit in some corner and make some money. Yeah. So, you know, that whole thinking.
So gaming is very technical, and that's what I'm bringing onto the table now. So you can see I've organized internships for university students, SSS students, and my greatest fulfillments are seeing SSS and JSS people texting me that, Mr. Iram, I want to be a game developer. Those are the things that I want to see. You get it? But someone needs to plow the road for others to follow. That's why I've put my life into this, right? I see the potential which drives me, and I know that I can make more of me with a small that I can provide. That's why from the launch letter I sent you, there's also a fundraising part where we would like to make this book available in all, like about print 1,000 copies of this book and distribute in every library, both rural and urban areas, for the kids to, and university students actually, to actually read and live with it. Because,
and of course, they can connect with you because you are someone they see.
Yes.
They can easily reach out to on Twitter or wherever it is.
And I wrote about KNUST. I wrote about the professors who were there with me. I wrote about those who said, no, Aram cannot make a game for final year project. And then one professor is like, okay, I will supervise Aram. And that I will supervise Aram, though he didn't know much about gaming, is what has generated all this. Just that professor saying that, hey, all of you, this guy will make the game for his project work. So I built the game for my project work. I took one of the old games I had done in JSS, in QBasic, and I redid it in 3D. And I put everything in it. I built a development diary. I built the game with the mindset of collaborative projects. Our universities are finite project works. Like, you just want to pick a banking something and do something. You cannot make a project work that people can come and continue and expand. So I built this game because in the gaming industry, it's like Lord of the Rings. It's one industry that rules seven, all aspects.
Mm.
So I use people from College of Art. I use people from music department. I use people from chemistry department, physics department. Because in my game, there was water. I wanted viscosity and there was physics. And I made a case in my thesis that I recommend interdepartmental projects. Right. So I built the programming aspect, which was computer science. But I made use of that. Okay. So I made a recommendation in my thesis that some marks should be also allocated to those who participate in such project works. And I will encourage that project works be done that way.
Mm.
And since I graduated from KNUST, I'm actually writing that as the beginning of gaming on the continent.
Mm.
Like, it is what you write that stays, right? So if no one writes it, people wouldn't know that.
And all of this is captured in this book. I've
captured it as the inception. And
Is it a lack of passion or a lack of understanding that hinders education institutions, at least the traditional ones,
mm-hmm.
from taking the path that would probably get us where we need to get to?
I think it's a matter of what the society provides.
Mm.
People get scholarships to go to MIT and study and come back and still teach what the curriculum is saying in the 70s. Yeah. But you had the opportunity to get exposure out there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you bring that here?
Mm.
An Aram wouldn't do that.
Mm.
A Philip might not do that.
Oh, I wouldn't do it.
So even me, in my small way,
mm.
what even got me doing this is, this thing has taken me all over the world. I've traveled a lot. This game thing that I'm doing, it tells you how unique it is.
Mm.
I'm just positioned doing something unique and having fun, but you get invitations from different people over the world. You go on CNN, Al Jazeera, like almost every media, international media house sees the value
of what you're doing,
of what we are doing.
Mm.
Ask me, I've featured in a lot of theses, dissertations, like people are writing research. I take international interns to intern with us and write research. I want more academic papers to be written because we need academic credibility.
True.
So I encourage that as well. A lot of research, and we are also gathering data, right? Not a single local master's person or even MBAs that are everywhere has even walked up to me to say they are doing a research on video games from Africa. Not a single one. But I've had people from MIT, Berkeley, Oxford, like all over, coming and writing about my work. People work in Spain, like, and then they enter museums and they just snap Africa's legends and text me, "Wow, I can see your work in this museum." Do I have my work in the Ghana Museum? No. You get it? That shows you how a lecturer who has studied outside will come and get frustrated.
Yeah.
So the passion gets compromised.
Right.
But this is an uncompromising passion.
Whether you like it or
you're not, I'm doing it my way. You know, that is it.
that is. I mean, and the story of your life is so well captured by the book, you know. And one of the things I just want to, I mean, even as we wrap up, we don't have too much time, but gaming in Africa, is it just a passion project or is it real?
It's real.
Hmm.
It's
why? Well, like, why should anybody pay attention to gaming in Africa?
Because that is the future. Let me tell you one thing. Gaming will solve our GDP issues. That one I'm sure in the next 5 years. Because what I'm plowing, I'm creating more of me, and we will really break it.
Hmm.
Because in Finland, that is what is generating the most revenues. For the government to even allocate money for game companies or the best companies. Finland is a place for only 500,000 people. But they have game companies that generate $1.6 million a day.
Wow.
And it's only in games that you can build now, or let's say apps, this app bubble, and it's open to the global space.
Mm.
And Africa has 1 billion people and speaking nothing about video games. And the revenues that games are recording in the US is bigger than music and movie industry combined. You know, I can't think fast. so those statistics is what is driving me in what I do. But education is the underlying, like skilled resources. Yeah. It's not the money that comes with it. It's the skilled resource. Because once your resources are set and you are investment ready, when money comes in, you will fly. And we've had the opportunity to pass through all these challenges till this far. So the skill set bit starts from the education aspect. That's why I'm vouching that we start game disciplines in our universities, starting with computer science and art. Even if it's not that technical, this book is going to expose people to what they can do, like the everyday things. You know, I wrote the kokontes and the kinkes that I ate. I love kinke very much. So number 20 road, number 21 Bubu Road, Auntie Becky's kinky, you know, it's all in there, you know. And this, I've done it in this way. This was how I did it. Yeah. So this book is like a timeline. And I've put the cast of this book, who read this book and see that and see where they also fill in and write their own stories and expand it. So I've just put this out there as a seed. And it's like a timeline. And when you read it, you'll be like, oh, this was where I first met Aram. What was I doing then? Then you also, write your own. Because I want to read about Philip. I want to read about Deridine. I want to read about, like, you know,
Atu Ozinapia.
Atu Ozinapia. And he wrote a really good foreword for the book.
It was.
So,
I mean, for someone doing a listening right now who wants to have access to the book, when is it being launched? How can people get access to it? You know, the works, the what, the why, the when.
Yes. So it's being launched this Friday, 4th November, 6 p.m. At the Meltwater International School of Technology, MEST, where I actually started. So they are my people.
Yeah.
And it's good to be home. It's good to be home. So that's where it's going to be launched. And it's on Amazon. It will be on Kindle. We are also looking at how to use some of our Leti Ask technology. We built an SMS interactive reading system where we wanted to use to encourage reading. So I'll try publishing it on the system to see those who are feature folks in the rural areas can also see how to consume the book. I'll just test it there and see how it goes. So it will be on that platform too. But for now, it will be hard copies in the normal bookshops, on Amazon, on my website, on the Leti Arts website. All over the place. So you can just...
And I mean, one of the most important things that we need to remember about this book, and especially the launch, is the fact that we are trying to get at least 1,000 copies printed to be distributed all across the country. So if you're going to be there at MEST this Friday for the launch, make sure that you come to support, because we want to get these texts, these words that are going to encourage the next generation of gamers, of tech, you know, startups, of basically anybody who is looking at changing the fortunes of Africa. We're trying to get this book to every single school. And it is such a pleasure to have you, Aram. Thank you so much for joining us. But then I'm sure there are some final words you'd like to say before you take leave of us.
Yes. I think I put some thoughts in the book as well, that passion, like, always be richer in passion than in money. Because when passion is lost, everything stops. Right, and you can't lose passion first, but money will come and go. It's passion that keeps you drive going. And I'll just read just the red, there's a red line just at the top of the book, what the book is. I wrote this book is not a motivational book.
Okay.
It was not written to tell you you can. It was written to tell you you are already doing it. to unlock your potential of greatness as an African child. That is in red behind the book. Thank you very much.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard Aram Teria, the CEO and co-founder of Leti Arts, talking to us about his new book, Uncompromising Passion, The Humble Beginnings of an African Video Game Industry. Next up is the AB segment of the show with Jeffrey Oriokwu-Sapo. Now, this segment of the show introduces you to some of, in my opinion, the coolest and productive mobile applications that you can think of. Good evening, Jeff.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
I'm good,
I think. Nice one. So, what are our mobile apps for this week?
So tonight I'll start with the iOS app.
Okay.
And it's called Eve.
Eve.
Yes, EVE.
Okay.
Yeah, so can you guess what it does?
It reminds us that Adam had a wife.
Wrong.
Okay.
So this app is for tracking the period of women.
Okay.
And the whole aim is to make sure that they control their health and sex lives.
Okay.
So you input the data, it will predict when you have your next period, when it's safe to, you know, do the thing and everything. So that's basically
that is interesting. Does. That yeah. is interesting. So for our female listeners, or probably for our male listeners, anybody, Eve is the yes. mobile app, and it's iOS. For iOS.
Yeah.
Nice one. So what is our second mobile app?
Now the second app is for those who are tired of WhatsApp.
I wonder who would be. But anyway, okay. So anybody who is tired of WhatsApp.
Yes.
Okay, so what is the mobile app?
Google Allo.
Google Allo.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So basically, this one does what WhatsApp does. Mm-hmm. And you have huge emojis and text.
Okay.
So instead of the small ones that WhatsApp ones will give bigger. You, these ones are bigger.
Okay.
And then you also have a preview of Google Assistant. So, like, say you have an assistant that will help you in doing the things that you want.
Planning your day yeah, and everything.
Instead of okay. the raw WhatsApp that you have.
Right.
So, that's it. And then it gives you a lot of other things. There's something called Smart Reply. There's something called Ink. There are stickers. You can shout or whisper. And then it will show it as you did.
As you did.
Yeah.
I see. That sounds very... And it's called Google Allo.
Yes.
Okay, like... Hello.
Yeah, thing. But that one, okay. Take the H-E out and bring an A.
An A. So yep. Google Allo.
Yeah.
Nice one. So quick reminder of the two mobile apps for this week. We have Eve.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Google Allo.
Yep.
Brilliant. And Eve is for iOS, you know, users. And then
Google Allo is for both Android and iOS.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Those are your two mobile applications for this week. Well, so like I promised, I will be unveiling the topic for this month's City Trends debate, and our guest Aram Teria will pick our topic for this month. Well, Aram, everybody has been waiting. Over to you. What is our topic for this month?
Actually, it's around smartwatch.
Okay.
Or the analog watch or the traditional.
Which
watch.
Is better?
Which is better?
Okay.
Or which would you go for?
Okay. And why? Well, that is your topic. Smartwatch or analog watches. Which is better? Which one would you go for? So it's open. Anyone who wants to weigh in on this particular one, just send me a message or just tweet at me, and then we will pick out those who will be speaking for and the person who's speaking against, and I'll make the announcement on social media by Thursday, and you can join us in studio next week for that particular conversation. So yes, digital or smart watches and analog watches, which ones would you go for and why? It's now time for the training segment of the show, and Amishadai Ofori of Flippy Campus joins us in the studio to bring us up to date with all that has been happening in the world of technology while we were busy doing everything else. Well, Amish, what's up?
I did.
Nice one. Nice one. Anyway, great week, amazing week. One of the biggest things that, you know, hit me this week was, of course, Microsoft and the Surface series just gets bigger and bigger. Now people are talking about how Windows is becoming the new Apple. Like, I mean, well, what for you, like, what do you make of Windows and the way the company is changing and the new devices that they have, the new Surface devices that they have? Like, what do you make of all of that?
Yeah, so I think it's very necessary, right? I mean, you can't be lost in the game.
Mm.
When you have Apple and Samsung always having their own sort of media shows, it's very necessary. So they really called it to get attention on their products, right? And I think the Surface series is also something very great and unique. Something like the Surface, you can interact, like you can work with other people, and that's very similar to what you have on Google Drive, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very necessary. Microsoft, well, I've always been biased towards Microsoft because I started with Microsoft.
Right.
So I was impressed.
I saw the Surface Studio, the very large one, you know, and I was amazed. Like, I actually felt like this is something I should have.
Right.
You know, it looks so good. And I mean, listen, like, you can check us out on YouTube and wherever else, you know, the Surface Studio and all the other Surface devices that were announced last week by Microsoft. But I mean, apart from the surprise and the shock of Microsoft, which other stories stood out for you this past week?
Oh, okay. So one of the major ones I found interesting was a tech release that said that mobile usage is now greater than desktop usage. Okay, for getting all types of information, include especially news,
right?
And that's very necessary if you're a developer or if you are focused on the technology space, because now you know you have to go mobile first,
right?
And according to the statistics from StatsCounter, it says that mobile usage is now 51.2% as opposed to 48.7% percent web wise,
right?
So I found it very interesting because most of the time when we are developing, we have to know whether to go mobile or web first. And if you know that statistically people use mobile a lot, like if I'm going to get news from CTFM from your website, I'm going to go mobile first as opposed to my desktop. I definitely have to be conscious of that and then tailor my whatever I'm doing towards mobile.
Mm.
So that was very necessary, I think. And then there's Instagram.
Aha. What is up with Instagram again?
Instagram,
apart from stealing from Snapchat.
Well, they are stealing something similar to another social platform.
Okay.
They allow you to watch items you can buy. Okay, so they've released it to a few retailers. Now, if let's say you're selling a shoe on Instagram, you will have a tag. You can tag your shoe, and then later when I am watching your Instagram feed, I can see I'll see a button that allows me to tag to view your product.
Okay.
So this will bring a pop-up on the Instagram app, and then I can see a detailed description of everything you're selling. So if you're selling that beautiful watch of yours right there, you as the person selling that watch will have a tag. You just tag the watch in your post, and then I'll be able to see a button that I'll tag to view your watch and all the details, the specs, about the price. Yes.
Wow.
Only that you can't, you know, click to buy
in
Instagram right now.
So that's the next line. That's what most we should likely expect soon.
I mean, if they pull something like that off, you should anticipate that they will definitely try to make money.
It is coming. It is coming. Okay, so I mean, the reason why I am a little shocked is that we've been surprised by a bit of donut on the show from the folks at Doman. So yeah, a big shout to you for the donuts. We are going to enjoy the jammies. But then let's get back to the trending topics of the week. Apart from Microsoft and of course the stealing habits of Instagram, which other stories stood out for you this week?
Okay, so more hardware technology news I found that I really appreciate is the fact that Tesla is making solar roof tiles. Okay.
Okay. Wait, Tesla, the same company that is making electric vehicles and flying people to space.
Yes, yeah, same company by Mr. Elon Musk, one of the G guys. Yes. So now solar roof tiles.
Okay.
People argue that like solar panels are already on roofs, but now they are designed specifically to look like roofing tiles. So they have aesthetic properties, and you can line your roof. You can literally line your house with solar roof tiles without
having, so it doesn't look all weird like sticking some satellite sticking out or whatever. It's actually a roof.
It's actually a roof, and it's solar. And you can, I think we need something like that.
Yeah, that makes so much more sense.
Yes,
you know, so that I'm going to buy roofing tiles or roofing sheets, and instead of that, I buy solar panels as
that are roofing tiles.
And what took them so long to think about something like that? That is incredible.
Yep.
Wow.
All by Tesla.
Well, Tesla just continues to make more money. Let's look forward to going to space soon. Any other stories that caught your attention?
Okay.
Oh, yes. I also heard this week, actually, was it today, that Apple is releasing a new set of emojis.
Yes, yes.
I don't know how it escaped you, but then basically, these new set of emojis are... my favorite one is the hand on the face one. You know when someone is saying something very utterly silly and you just want to tell them to stop because you're... Yeah, exactly. Like you're doing right now. Apple has released a new set of emojis, and that happens to be one of them. So if and when you have to update your phone, please make sure you check out the new emojis from Apple, because they seem to be pretty, pretty interesting, and they will be available, of course, on Apple for you guys to check out. And it's giving the perfect emoji basically for an event that 2016 has to throw at us. So I mean, it will be available in, you know, the various skin colors and everything. But that for me was one of the biggest stories, for those of you who love emojis, when people are, you know, saying whatever they need to say. But will that be all for this week?
That'll be all for today, actually. So the face palm one was sometimes embarrassed to say, and it's actually in preparation for other emojis that they will be releasing. Okay. Right, so it's not just the face palm, it's others, and it's also to help them spice up their iOS 10.
True. Okay, so before we leave, just a quick message coming through from Mawenya. She says, how do I get in touch with Aram? And she's requesting for the number. We will message you on WhatsApp with that number. But you can follow Aram on Twitter as well. Aram, your Twitter handle?
At Aram Teria or at Letty Art.
Yeah, spell it for the people.
Aram is E-Y-R-A-M and Teria is T-A-W-I-A. No H.
No H.
Yeah, that's the Taria. Okay.
Taria,
the LA one.
The original one. Yeah. Well, so yes, for those of you who want to get in touch with him on Twitter, that is his handle, and of course his number we can't put out there because obviously he's a very private person. But if you want to get in touch with him, you can get in touch with him via Twitter. Alternatively, you can turn email. Up for or email. Yeah. Yes,
yeah, email is aram@lettyarts.com. And also just follow Letty Arts on social media, and you can always get...
Alternatively, just show up at the launch of the book at, you know, the Mest office, and you will be fine. You'll get to meet him in person and connect with him as well. Well, that will be all for today's show. My name is Philip Ashon, of course. Many thanks to Jeffrey Rikusapo and Amishad Alfori for making this show possible with the two segments on the show. And many thanks, of course, to Aram Teria, you know, co-founder and of Letty Arts, and his CEO currently of Letty Art, and sharing his passion project and his new book, Uncompromising Passion, The Humble Beginnings of an African Video Game Industry, with us. Thank you all for staying tuned in. Let the conversations continue wherever you are, whether it's about the emojis or it's about the roofing tiles that are now solar paneled or whichever one it is. The show will be available as a podcast on cityfmonline.com in case you want to listen again. My name is Philip Ashon, but till next week, stay techie.